Actually see your whole beautiful faces. Praise the Lord. I'm grateful this morning. Yes, and this morning, Pastor Scott's going to be talking about how God is the one who directs our story. And these songs remind us that whatever you're going through, when you're in a battle, maybe it's a physical battle, spiritual battle, maybe it's a health battle, there are lots of different things, but the Lord is faithful to lead and guide and to be the one who gives us the victory. So let's continue to worship him this morning.
My weapon is a battle. storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
And I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise, treasures of faith, never enough. And you came along and put me back together. Satisfied. Nothing is better.
blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his. Thank you. praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's pray together. Holy Father, you are our blessed assurance. It is your character and your nature, which is broadcast in all that you created. You've revealed yourself to us in your word so that we might know you, that we might enter into a relationship with you, that we might want to be spiritual tour guides to others, that they too would know you and be in relationship with you. Lord, all that happens because, well, you're the Almighty God. And you love us individually to the point that you have a pathway for each and every one of us. That you have a plan and a purpose. Lord, we're thankful that you want to be in relationship with us, that you want to guide us and direct us. And Lord, the more we know of who you are, the more we know that we do fall short of your glorious ideal. That we could do better, we should do better. Yet what you want to do as we confess our sins is not push us down, but lift us up. And remind us through the transformation of the Holy Spirit that we can move forward in a good way, in a better way, in a way that honors you more and more each day. Lord, we pray for those that are upon our mind, heart, and soul this morning. Lord, we pray for those in Ukraine. Lord, as I prayed last week, I pray that you would speak directly to Vladimir Putin. And that, Lord, you would remind all of us that we're all created in your image. Lord, you're the one that can bring protection. You're the one that can come around us in our grief, in our loss. And it's true, you're a God for every facet and aspect of human life. The good and the easy, the challenging and the horrible. Lord, on this day, your day, we want to worship you. Lord, whatever we need to set aside so that we can worship you wholeheartedly. Help us to do that in this moment. For Lord, what we desire more than anything else is to know your presence, your power, and the peace that passes all understanding. And so we pray these things, Lord, in your name. Amen. Let's thank those leading us this morning. Yay! We're going to send Josh to The Voice, and he can sing that song. Hey, guess what? You can welcome one another. You can clasp hands. You can hug people. If a person has a mask on, please honor that. So we thought about having a mask burning here in the service, but we were afraid that we would light off the sprinkler, so we didn't do that. And if you're with us on live stream, come on down. We're actually having coffee and cookies, and we're talking to one another. That this is an ancient practice of the church. It's called fellowship, and we're going to practice it wholeheartedly, unveiled this morning, and it's great to have you with us. I do have a few announcements for you. Ladies, this coming Friday and Saturday is the Olympic Peninsula Women's Fellowship. If you have not yet signed up for that, there's still time. Go to their website to register if you need help getting to that website. Check the church office and we'll get you to the right place. An opportunity to meet your neighbors is called Map Your Neighborhood, and it's going to be on March 26th here at SEC. If you go online, you can pick up all the details of what that event will be. But basically, you're going to meet your neighbors if you come on down and be a part of that. As we culminate Restoring Rhythms, there will be an opportunity for baptisms on March 27th. If you're an adult, we will baptize you up front here, unless you really, really want to go to the straight, like the high school and elementary school students do. We'll dunk you down there just as well as we would here. Again, we're a Reformed tradition, so mode of baptism isn't a big deal, and so we're happy to dunk you down in the straight, sprinkle you, dab you, get the super soaker out up here, whatever is most comfortable for you.
From Luke 2, yeah, it's the Christmas story. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. And from 1 Peter. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live, because you will belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that is what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong.
You are a wonder-filled, adventure-filled person. There's not a single one of you that I know that are boring. You're not only not boring, but you have great history. A history that creates touch points with other people. And today we want to just talk about how do we share our story with other people. How do we do that in the best possible way? We're taken back to the Christmas story because it's a great example. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. They had to hear it. They didn't see the angels. They didn't see the light. But what they did encounter was the excitement, the message, the story that the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, had come to Bethlehem. We want to share that story with other people. What I want to encourage you to become today is what I call becoming a spiritual tour guide for someone else. We need to enter into conversations with other people. And as we do that, we need to do some initiation in getting to know that other person. That's why asking good questions and listening a lot are very important. I'm going to say that to you three times today. Asking good questions and listening a lot is very important in this day and age. If you want to be a spiritual tour guide, if you want to carry on a conversation with someone else, well, about your faith, about the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. The goal of being a spiritual tour guide is that you would enter into a conversation and relationship with another person that would get them asking, seeking, and knocking. How do you know if you're doing a good job of being a tour guide to someone spiritually? Oh, they'll begin to ask. They'll begin to seek. They'll begin to knock. They'll be the ones asking the questions and feeling the compulsion of the Holy Spirit in their life. What we want to do is help them with that. Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, and knock. We're supposed to do that. But we're also supposed to help other people ask, seek, and knock. So how do we do that? 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for their hope that you have. Now, I've been a little surprised that, well, when I've needed to be ready to share my story, talk about Jesus and the Christian faith. Many years ago, when our children were young, we got an opportunity to stay in a bed and breakfast out in the middle of nowhere off Campbell River, Vancouver Island. I mean, we were out all by ourselves. There wasn't a store to be had. There were a few other boats around. And unbeknownst to a young couple and an older couple, a family was coming to this little piece of the rock that they were on. And of course, it was very interesting, and it was a lot of fun to be with other people. I was in my lounge chair enjoying the warmth of the sun, reading a theology book, and a young couple came up to me, the only young couple on the island, and they said, are you a pastor? Yes, I can't hide. You saw the book I'm reading. Yes, I'm a pastor. Why do you ask? We wanted to know if you could walk us through what the Bible has to say about tithing. They're on vacation. There are other things to do on vacation when you're young and married than ask the preacher about what the Bible has to say about tithing. And they said, we've been having conversations about our budget that we're making now that we're married, and we were having some discussion about that. And so I walked them through, not unlike what I walked you through last week about what the Bible has to say. Now, I could tell you, I didn't bring a Bible study on tithing with me. I was going to relax and renew and hang out with my kids. But you always have to be ready. You always have to be ready. You never know when someone's going to introduce you as the pastor of the church. That's happened a few times when I've made my way from the pool to the locker room at the Y. You take a stop in there, it's called the shower room. Okay? and two people are talking and they don't see me, and all of a sudden we all turn around and it's, hey, by the way, this is my pastor. You always got to be ready. You always got to be ready. Be ready to ask good questions. Be ready to listen to what people are saying. I think in this day and age, there's a spiritual tour guide etiquette. How do you do it well? The way you do it, first and foremost, is you pray that the Holy Spirit will give you sensitivity and give you the right words to say when you get into a spiritual encounter, a conversation with another person. And when you pray, then what you want to do is you want to kind of size them up a little bit about how they might feel about talking about spiritual things, religious things about Jesus. And it's true. Some are really unaware. They're a little clueless to the whole thing. They don't know much about Christianity, the Bible, or what it means to go to church. Some are very interested. Others are kind of standoffish. They're cautious about what this is all about. In fact, a friend of mine, Jeff, we were just together a few months ago on the East Coast. He decided that for a month he was going to wear a clerical collar. And so everywhere we went, he had a clerical collar on. He looked like a priest. And at one point, our cohort asked him, okay, Jeff, what's up with the clerical collar? He said, it's been the most interesting adventure to be visible as a Christian and as a pastor. And he said, I've gotten a lot of questions. I've gotten confessions. I've had people ask would I pray for them? And I've had a few people jeer and yell at me. Oh, yeah, you priests. And so not everybody that finds out that you're a Christian or finds out that you're a pastor, not everybody's engaged in that. Some are very put off by that. And it helps if we pray and then we kind of engage a little bit in figuring out how this person might feel, how they're feeling in a moment. And then as I get to know them, how do I begin to talk with them? A great way to start the conversation is ask a lot of questions. A lot of personal questions, and I don't mean deep personal questions, but things about them, and get them to talk about who they are. And as you listen, especially Holy Spirit, listen to that person, you will find that there is common ground with this other person. There's a connection point that will allow you to befriend this person, begin to build a relationship with this person, thereby becoming their spiritual tour guide. And especially for us extroverts, a good etiquette thing to do is keep our answers short. Keep our answers short. Everybody likes to hear their name, and everybody likes to share their story. And so you want to give them the opportunity to tell you their name and to tell you a little bit about their story. And when you do respond, it helps to keep it short, and one verse is enough. One verse is enough. You want to ask them to have a drink with you, so to speak. You don't want to drown them as you drink together. And so they don't need all of it at one time. If God intends for you to be a spiritual tour guide for this person at work or in your neighborhood or who's just a part of what you're a part of, then God will give you more than one occasion to carry on a conversation with them, to get to know them, to find that common ground, and then the Holy Spirit will say, say this now. You just this part of this verse, they might find that comforting to them. They might find that hopeful as they move through their life. So we need to kind of follow the etiquette and focus very much on the other person. As we enter into this conversation, this relationship with another person, it helps you to kind of know what your own story style is. And you'll notice there's four different story styles. The right word at the right time is like a custom-made piece of jewelry. I love that image out of the message. We want to make our conversation custom-made for that other person. And so what's your basic style? Well, you could be a person who's highly confrontational to someone. That's a little bit like Peter. And the great thing about being confrontational is what you're saying is very clear. Very clear. Usually very clear and very pointed. Now, I'm not a big fan of the confrontational style. In fact, at one point in ministry, I was trying to figure out where that really fit. And then I ran into a man that did men's ministry. He did a Bible study with men in prison. And as I got to know him, he pretty much said that. He said, no, when you're hanging out with these guys, it's a confrontation every time you're there. And they don't want anything wishy-washy. They just want the truth, and they want it expressed clearly and boldly to them if it's the Word of God. And I went, wow, that must be a very interesting opportunity to interact with people. And he said, I'm big with being clear, pointed, even a little confrontational like Peter. Others of us are perhaps maybe more like Paul. We have a little bit more of an intellectual approach to sharing our faith. Most people have faith questions. And to engage in an attitude in conversation with another person, that there are great questions that people are asking. And yeah, you got great answers for all those great questions. And that kind of intellectual style question asking and answering, it's a very engaging way to be in a conversation with another person, a spiritual conversation with another person. Now, I think all of us can be testimonial, maybe not as good as the blind man who saw, but even in our own right, there are things that God has done for us. And we want to just tell other people the good things that God has done for us. He not only did this good thing for me, but he what? He could do that good thing for you. And it's a little bit like your own personal advertisement about Jesus, the Bible, the Christian faith. It's your testimony. You are the expert at your testimonial story. We are many times like the blind man that was healed. You know, all I can tell you is I used to not see and now I do. Not a lot of theology, just reality, and it was that Jesus guy that did it. A fourth way is an invitational style. The woman at the well was very much that way. Hey, come and see. People have to come and see before they can come and know. And so as we go, we enable other people, we point them, we say, yeah, come and see, come and experience, come and know. And the great thing about the woman at the well is she's very encouraging. So what's your best foot forward in terms of your conversational style, your storytelling style? Yes, everybody wants to ask good questions, open-ended questions, listen a lot. But as we get to know that person, as we're able to, through even the prodding of the Holy Spirit, identify a common point, common ground with that other person, then if we've listened well, we'll actually know, even though our main style might be this or that, we can kind of customize our story style so that we have the best chance of being heard as we speak to this other person. I believe that the Bible is inspired and sharing the Bible is very important. Just don't drown them in it as you share it with them. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true. And in this day and age, people just need to know what's true. They're having a lot of trouble figuring out what is true. And if you continue in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it'll tell you where you're off, and it'll tell you how to get back on, and it will equip you for every good thing. Here's an interesting question. How many scriptures does it take to get Jesus working in the life of someone else? 100 scriptures? 50 scriptures? 25 scriptures? See, you're getting my point. If God wants to prompt and call that person, it just needs to be a single thought, a single verse. And we do need to remember that God is in charge of this. As I mentioned last week, I've been doing this since I was, really teaching since I was 19 years old. I became a Christian right before my 18th birthday. And by my 19th birthday, I was leading Bible studies and teaching, by the way, not very well, but I was doing it. And I've been doing that my entire life, and I'm here to tell you, I have not saved one single person. Not a single person. You know why? Jesus does the saving. I don't do the saving. My job is to be a good tour guide. My job is to engage in conversation. Since I'm the preacher, my job is to present the Word of God to you in an engaging manner that you understand, and then together we can go and live this together. So I became a Christian through the four spiritual laws. There were probably 8 or 9 verses that we read together. Those are all great verses, and they spoke to me. But that, for another person, might be too much. Just one verse God can use. In fact, God can use just one single word. And you know what that word is. Jesus. It defines everything. Everything. So remember that God is in charge. We want to move forward out of our enthusiasm and our hope for someone else, but we have to let them set the pace. We have to realize that God is going to speak to that person through us. And it may not even be our words. It may just be the fact that we stopped and noticed or we engaged. It's true, some will be unresponsive. In fact, I'll tell you, some will be even angry at you that you would bring up such an archaic, exclusive, definitive subject matter as Jesus. Some will be unresponsive, some will be angry. I can tell you this, because I know you, more people will engage. More people will want to know. More people will be on a path of discovery because of who you are and what Jesus means to you. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. So be careful, I put alert, how you live, be wise. Make the most of every opportunity with other people. Simply, what are we talking about? Just loving them. Loving them. Having a desire to help them change the trajectory of their eternity from hell to heaven. And yeah, we want to do it the very best way. The very best way to tell your story is to do it in a loving manner. Let's pray. Lord, you know us. We get excited, especially as extroverts, and we start talking and proclaiming and pointing out and challenging. But Lord, it's true that getting to know someone else is very important. In fact, it's never been more important than it is today, relationship with someone. And Lord, those of us that are not as good as at listening or asking open-ended questions, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, prod us so that we can listen. Lord, we're thankful that you do point out common ground where we can get to know another person. Lord, you have called us to love our neighbor as ourself, and you've given us a great story, our own story, as well as the history and the scriptural story of you coming to this planet, living like us, dying on the cross for our sins and resurrecting. Lord, you call us to be the hope, the tour guides for those that are lost, those that are looking. Lord, help us to help them find you and find eternity. And so it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace.
Story isn't exactly an easy thing. I don't know about you, but sometimes it feels kind of daunting to me. But the good thing is we have the Holy Spirit that goes before us. We don't need to wear a priest collar to remind us, you know, who we are. And the Holy Spirit will prompt you and lead you as you ask the Lord to do that. So God bless you this week as you go. Be encouraged. We'll see you next Sunday.